Hey, it's Dola White, and this is the Dola White Podcast. My guest today is author, activist, podcaster, hope dealer, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, Carlos Whitaker. Now, normally I have a super creative, sometimes funny way to intro my podcast, but I just haven't been feeling it lately. I think it's a Scorpio moon. I don't know what the fuck that means. I was just trying to impress my wife. Welcome to the Dola White Podcast.
Polo Giddy. Live. Yeah. What's up? This is not live. It's completely recorded.
Broadcasting from one of the top recording studios in all of Nashville, Tennessee.
Yeah, that's not true at all. I'm probably at home doing this.
He's been called one of the greatest thinkers of his time.
Literally no one has ever called me that. I do kind of agree with it, though. Right
here. A 2017 recipient of the Nobel Peace Prize.
That's just a flat out lie.
Talking politics, community, race, religion, entertainment, sports, and whatever the fuck else. Yeah. It's the Dola White Podcast.
Episode 20 now of the Dola White Podcast. My guest today, super dope individual, author, activist, podcaster, hope dealer, good human, Carlos Whitaker. Welcome in, bro.
All those things. I'm going to hire you full-time to introduce me everywhere I go.
I try to make my podcast as evergreen as possible. However, yesterday, historic day with the Derek Chauvin verdict. And then while that verdict is coming out, 15-year-old Micaiah Bryant shot and killed by police. So I just kind of want to get your reaction to both before we get into bigger picture stuff.
Ooh, I mean, you're right. We're fresh off that. I'm exhausted is what I am. Like, there was no sense of joy or even victory or any of that stuff with the Derek Chauvin trial yesterday. It was pure grief and relief kind of wrapped up in one. And then, yeah, and then we see 30 minutes later, we have Michaela shot up in Ohio. And I'm not one to react the second something happens publicly. And I always like to look at my reaction privately and take a look at it and say, okay, like, what about this would be different when and if I do react publicly? And so when I initially heard the news of, is it Michaela? Is that her name?
I think it's Micaiah. I hope I'm saying Micaiah? That right, too. Yeah, okay. I think so.
Initially, my daughter's like, hey, Dad, did you hear about the 15-year-old girl that was shot? I'm like, no. And I don't want to hear about the 15-year-old girl that shot right now. Like, I'm so tired. But of course, I kind of go down into it. And I'm friends with Sean King. I've been friends with him for about 15 years. And he texted me and said, you know, I don't know if you want to look at this or not. And so initially, my private emotion was just, man, like, can we figure out a way to stop killing people? There has to be another way. And here's the thing. I've got a lot of law enforcement officer friends. And when I say a lot, I mean a lot. I'm not talking about, like, I just know of one. Like, I've got friends, you know, and I know the high-stakes situations that they're placed in on a daily basis. And I know, when I look at that situation, that police officer probably saved another person's life when he shot her. Now, that's still not good enough for me. I am glad that the other person was saved. That knife could have gone straight into any kind of organ and she'd have been dead. But there's got to be another way besides killing. There has to be another way besides killing a 16-year-old foster child black girl who knows what was happening in her mind right now, who knows the traumatic situations that has gone on. And so, like, there's just got to be another way. And so that's kind of where I'm at today, is like, listen, like, you can argue, which he was justified. She had a knife, all these things. What you can argue is she needs to be alive.
Yeah.
And so that's where I feel like my work is about to really lean into. And so I'm already starting trying to figure this out and trying to help people figure this out and their emotions about it as well.
There has to be an in-between between the police officer standing there and the police officer killing her. There has to be something else that could have been done where everybody walks away alive.
Yes. And I don't feel like that's not too much to ask, right? What human would say that's too much to ask? That can't be too much to ask.
One thing that I love that you do, I'm a white person and I try my best to do whatever work I can do, especially when it comes to racial inequities. And you are better to me at talking to white people about race than I am. Like, people that might lean a certain way. And I'm like, this dude is like the white people whisperer, man. Like, what you said, I think it was last week you did a video where you were just like, just listen, just not today. Yeah. Don't give me your opinion. Just listen. And that's the one bit of advice that I've always felt like I've gotten right when I've tried to speak to other white people about this, is sometimes people don't need your advice. Sometimes they just want to feel heard and listened and like you care that this particular life has been lost or that this particular battle is being fought. So speak on that for a minute. Like, what is your secret, man? Because I think we all need some of that.
It's no secret. When I used to work at a church in Atlanta, I was the worst leader. I was a singer, right? I actually wasn't a very good singer. Like, I was probably like a C-minus singer. This was like an all-white mega church, like 25,000 white people every weekend. And here's this black guy on stage. But I wasn't a very good singer. But the pastor called me one day and he said, you know, Carlos, the reason why you're a good worship leader isn't because you're a good singer. And I was like, I know that. I said, but what is it? He goes, it's because for some reason, when you walk on stage, every single person feels like you're their best friend. And he goes, I don't know what that is. I don't know how you coach that into somebody. He goes, that's actually like a gift. You need to use that gift. And so I say that to preface, I feel like I have this uncanny ability to where even like the most Trumper, conservative, Blue Lives Matter, these people that are on the complete opposite side of every single point of view I have, for some reason, will still trust me and listen to me. And I've watched them move. I've watched just one at a time in my DMs, people start to move an inch, then another inch. Here's the thing, like, I think this is also a key for people that want to have conversations with people with really opposing viewpoints than you. The goal should never be to move somebody 45 degrees in one conversation. That's not the goal. But so many people are trying to move people 45 degrees when all I'm doing is trying to move somebody 1 degree. Now, 1 degree may not feel like a lot, but after 45 days of moving 1 degree different, right? In 10 days, it's only going to be like an inch. But in 40 days, that 1 degree is going to move somebody so much longer over time. So I'm in it for the long game. And so when people follow me on Instagram, they're like, you know, some people are frustrated that I'm not harsh enough. My 1 degree game is actually working. Yeah. I'm watching white people completely shift. It may have taken them 6 months of listening, but that 1 degree over 6 months, they are now straight up at Black Lives Matter marches. And that's completely different than when they were. And so
right.
I feel like that's one of the secrets that people need to lean into is like, just go for 1 degree. Don't go for 45.
And I think there's also something to be said for everybody's work looks different. And there's a different way to do that work. And some people, it may be just going, you know, extreme. And for you, it may just be the 1 degree.
Yeah.
And as long as it's positive work being done, we should all be good for that, yeah, right?
Work is work. And also there's different people that react to different styles. So my style of work may not be the right style of work for somebody else. Some of my best friends, white, middle-aged, conservative men, my style doesn't work for them. And I've just kind of been like, listen, we can't talk about this stuff. You're going to have to learn from somebody else because you're not going to be able to do it for me. So like just knowing that we've got different rhythms and ways that we do things.
I'm glad you touched on being involved with the church because I consider myself agnostic. And I remember being open about being agnostic was a tough thing. I was raised Catholic and a lot of religious people are very hard on you if you say, hey, that's not really the way for me. There was a time when I was probably had some resentment on extreme religious people to where I was like, I don't want to be around that at all. You are not like that at all. You're not one of the people I would have hated during my resentment phase. You're very accepting of people no matter what their belief or orientation or anything. It's all a love type thing. And I always say that in regards to Christianity, no matter what it is you think of it, Jesus seemed like a pretty good dude. Seemed like a good guy that he had the better interest of people in mind. And I, again, say that as somebody that's agnostic. I feel like that gets lost on a lot of people who have harsh judgments. And with you, it's just like, hey, this is what I believe. If you don't, it's cool. I accept everybody. I love everybody. Yeah. And that's that.
Well, you know, I say it all the time. You don't have to believe what I believe to belong in my community. Like on my Instagram, I got people that are like deconstructing their Christian faith. I got Catholics. I've got agnostics. I've got atheists. I've got witches. I got all kinds of people that follow me for the humanity of who I am. And where I go always is kind of where you go, like just kind of back to Jesus. I'm like, at the end of the day, like anybody that just kind of opens the Bible and reads the red letters. And when I say the red letters, if you open up a Bible in red are all the words of Jesus. Just start there. If you're just going to read anything, just read his words. Don't read anyone else's. And when you read his words, it is nothing but love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, all the things that we need to be as good human beings. So I don't know a human on the planet that doesn't want that. And so I've got friends that are feel like it's their call on earth to make sure everyone just believes exactly what they believe. If I am living my life in the truest sense of how I was created to live, people are going to follow me and they're going to pay attention to what I'm doing. That's all I can ask for, is to try to bring hope to humanity on a daily basis. I don't want to single anybody. I want everybody that listens to me to be able to find hope. And that's what I try to do.
How hard is that to do on a daily basis?
Honestly, it's been harder since the beginning of the year. I feel like last year it was easier to do just because I was seeing more and more people join the fight. And then what's ended up happening is it's become harder because a lot of people that join the fight are suddenly like, well, I was cool with joining the fight when all I had to do was this. Like all I had to do was say something and like, look at me, like I'm social justice warrior now. Like I'm like fighting for Black Lives, all these things. Okay, well, that's fine. But now like there's another step that you have to take. There has to be action. action that follows your intention. Now it's harder to deliver hope on a daily basis because I kind of feel like I've got to be a little bit harder in my conversation with people on a daily basis. And, you know, some people may not find that hopeful, but I do feel like it's a little bit more difficult. But again, I'm implanted. I've got my things that I do every single morning. I meditate, I pray, I read my Bible. I do the things that I need to do to find my hope in the morning, because by the time I go to bed, I can be a completely different human than I was when I woke up. So I've got to make sure I repeat, rinse and repeat every day. If I get out off my routine, hope is going to be a lot harder to find.
Kind of going back to where we started, what can, in your opinion, white people do to help break down the system of inequity and justice and that we live in?
Yeah. Everything. Because white people, you invented it all, right? Yeah. So since you invented it all, you have access to change it all. And black people, we are in the minority. We are in the small minority. Therefore, if it's just black people trying to do the work, nothing is going to change. It has to be not only some white soccer moms in their minivans. Like, it can't be some. It has to be those white soccer moms talking to their other white soccer moms and convincing them. Like, it has to be this constant groundswell of education and allowing people's hearts to change, because it really is absolutely, and I hate to place it all on in your court, but you've got the power. White people have all the power. When I say power, I mean systemic power. I'm not talking about just like power in the heart and desire, but systemic power. You've got it. Like, we need you to realize that we need you. We need you to realize that we need you. And so I think once white people start seeing that, you know, now you can go down the list and there's a thousand things you can do. Just pick one, like pick one thing where you see systemically that black people are being oppressed. Pick one, because I can give you 50 right now. Just pick one and then go hard after that one. You know, whether it be police brutality, whether it be voting laws like in Georgia, whatever it may be, pick one and then put your entire force behind that thing. And when I say that, I'm not talking about just social media posts like, oh, run for office, make sure you lift up other black voices, you know, all the things all day long. It is exhausting. I know it's exhausting, but listen to me when I tell you, we're a little more exhausted than you are. So yeah. We need you to feel the exhaustion for just a minute. It's going to be okay. You're going to make it through it. And then on the other side, there'll be some equality.
I always say that racism is a white person problem with black people are the victims of it, right? So like, it's our problem. So we're the ones that have to fix it. We're the ones that have to step up and, like you said, do something to fix it, because if we don't fix it within ourselves, it's just not going to happen. And to me, I think that starts in education. I think the way that we educate students, especially young students, on race in this country is awful. I mean, we skip over it. It's just like, oh, there's slavery. And then Abraham Lincoln came, everything was fine. And then, you know, there was some denial of rights, and then, you know, the civil rights movement, and everything's been great since then. I think we've really got to drill down into what our ancestors did and how those things affect people to this very day. And if we don't do that, it's just not going to change.
I think about it this way. I think that, like, white people, they built the system, and black people have been the ones that have been oppressed by the system. Now, what you can't do is expect a white person to understand the reality and the truth of what a black person feels. That would be like somebody like watching Grey's Anatomy and then saying, yeah, you can operate on me because you've watched it, right? So somebody that just is just watching a black person live, and then suddenly they call themselves an expert because they've watched it. Sorry, like, be an expert on what it's done to us. And so there has to be a lot of listening to understand, and then you taking the skill set that you've been given and change it, right? And so, like, whenever I hear white people like talk about how they know about racism and they know about the history of, you know, all these, I'm like, you may know about it, but you don't know it. It's just going to take, you know, I think a lot of pride swallowing. And then once you swallow your pride, at that point, I think you can help a lot more.
I totally agree with that. And one thing that I've never personally understood about even members of my own family is there is pride with ancestors that we literally never met. Like, why do people fight to throw up a flag, like the Confederate flag, when, like, I probably had family members that fought for the Confederacy in the Civil War. I don't know them. Sure. I don't give a shit about them. They are awful people. And I'm okay with saying that, right? Like, I don't understand why that's hard for white people to admit. And then the other thing that you said, as far as swallowing your pride, a friend of my wife's, her name is Liz, and she's a white woman. She said something one time that really blew my mind, and was that she doesn't like the term ally, because she thinks when white people come to these conversations, there needs to be a lot of humbleness to it, right? And when you're saying I'm an ally, that's almost like a brag. Like you're saying like, oh, I'm an ally. Like you got to slow down, back up a little bit, come and always ask, what can I do? How can I do it? And just sometimes just listen. It all starts to me anyway with listening.
Again, one of my best friends on planet Earth, we've been friends for a long time. He sees this completely differently than I do. Even still, even after the year and a half of me every single day, just, you know, and I realized, and it took a long time for me to realize that, like, he's actually not listening. Like, there's actually not listening that's happening. He's hearing, and then he's taking what I'm saying, and he's formulating his whatever it is, rebuttal, or whatever. And then he's got all his pundit headline, you know, one-liners that he'll zing back or whatever. But there's absolutely zero listening to understand. And I'm telling you, Brene Brown says this well. You can't hate somebody from up close. And when you actually remove all you face to face with somebody else that you don't understand, the understanding will begin to, you know, seep into you. And that will, you know, lead to more action. But if somebody's going to be like, okay, I'm going to be a, whatever, we don't like the word ally, but I'm going to be somebody that joins forces, a white person with Black people. What you can't do is continue listening every single day and filling your mind with people's thoughts. I'm talking about podcasters, pundits, you know, news anchors that are tickling your ears with things that you want to hear that are going to make you feel good. And then you're going to think you can come over here and be like, well, let me just, even though I completely disagree with everything you're saying, I'm going to be able to help you. No, actually, want your help. Like if you're gonna come in here like you're some like missionary coming over here to like help me out of my poor oppressed little state, like that's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for people that truly feel and empathize with what I'm feeling. And once you empathize with what I'm feeling as a white person, you can't go back to just this being an idea. I say this all the time. Don't stand on issues, walk with people. I've said it over and over for the last year. I'm so tired of people standing on an issue like my friend, like I'm talking about. He's just standing on this issue. He's not walking with me. The second he walks with me for 5 minutes, I promise you, you walk with me for 5 minutes, you're no longer going to stand on some opinion of some issue or policy. You're going to feel my plight and you're going to feel what I'm dealing with. And that's what we need more of. We need more people not standing on issues, more white people not standing on issues of what they believe could be better for Blacks, you know, or fatherlessness or all the things, and literally just walk. Take a week and just walk with Black people. And I promise you, your heart's going to begin to change. You're going to realize how you can be a help.
And take a week off from watching Tucker Carlson at night, too. That might help you out.
Take 1 hour. 1 hour. Is that fool? It's
all right to miss Tucker every now and again. It just might be good for you. You never know.
You know, last night, you should have missed him.
Oh, I don't even know what he said, but I know I saw the tweets from Ben Shapiro and Tommy Lauren, and I'm like, we all watched Derek Chauvin murder George Floyd. Like, the reaction to him going to jail should be good. He's going to jail.
Right.
And anything less than that is unacceptable.
Yeah.
And
unacceptable.
Yeah. And that's why I'm really glad that you and Tim Wise, you guys are here in Nashville, because Tommy Lauren and Ben Shapiro, they're all here in Nashville now
They all invaded us.
Yeah. We had a good thing going. What the hell happened here, man?
I know.
I'm not sure if you get this a lot, and this is not something I'm at all an expert on. So I kind of just want to hear your reaction. But I do see some activists that are not as religious talk about how religion was used during slavery and to help enslave people.
Oh yeah.
Obviously, there's some truth to that. Does that affect your faith at all? Or
that's a great question. No, like my faith is not in the Southern Baptist Church. Like my faith is in Jesus. Okay. And so the Southern Baptist Church took the words in the Old Testament out of context and said, oh yeah, like they were slaves, so we got to have slaves now. Like, so like my faith isn't in religion. That's why I don't have even an inkling of like hesitation when it comes to my faith. When suddenly like your faith is in a denomination or a church, and Lord have mercy, this last year as we've watched a lot of evangelical churches suddenly not become Christian, they become Trumpin or something. Like, they're now like nationalism is like the religion. So many people have come to my corner of the internet and they're like, I've literally been embarrassed to say I'm a Christian. I've been embarrassed until I found you because you're just normal. Like you're not.
Right.
And again, I feel like most Jesus followers are normal. Like if you're following Jesus and what he said to do, you're normal. Once you start following other things besides what he was saying, that's when abnormal comes to pass. And that's when like slavery starts to happen. Man, have you watched Handmaid's Tale?
I have not.
Okay. So Handmaid's Tale is a show on Hulu. I think it's on Hulu. It shows this kind of maybe like in 100 years, the United States of America, where the Christians have taken the Bible and they've taken what handmaids were like in the Old Testament, where they like literally had like sex slaves as women that would have their babies. And then it's obviously this fantasy thing, but you watch it and you see what could happen if people keep going crazy when it comes to religion. It's super far-fetched, but people watch that show and they can start seeing like, wow, like, you know, if people don't relax on making their religion their God, that's the kind of stuff that can happen. And that's what happened back in the day, is people took the religion and they ruined it, to be honest with you. And so that's why, like, I'm not a religious person, but I'm a Jesus person.
And that's respectable to me, because I feel like watching you and the work that you do, you stand by that. And I don't see hypocrisy in that. I think for us on the outside of identifying with any particular religion, I think, first of all, I think if you look deep enough, you can find beauty in every religion, right? And secondly, you can always look and see like who's really dedicated to their beliefs and who's just buying propaganda. And I think if you're not religious, like I'm not, like people that buy into the propaganda, you really have to like exhale and like let it go. Yeah. You know what I mean? Because it's hard to watch. I'm sure you've seen
it. It is hard.
Yeah. I'm sure you've seen people like that.
I want to, on behalf of all Jesus following Christians, I want to apologize to every single person listening to this show, because I know they drive me crazy too.
Carlos Whitaker, where can everybody follow you on Instagram? Tell us about your podcast, all of that.
LOSWHIT, Los Wit on Instagram, on Twitter. Instagram, I'm a little friendlier. Twitter, I'm a hot mess. So like, just so you know, it's two different versions, Jekyll and Hyde. And then I got a podcast on all the podcast places called Human Hope with Carlos Whitaker. Comes out every single Thursday morning.
You've also written two books. Don't forget, don't sell yourself short.
I've actually written three.
Oh.
Thank you very much. We got Moment Maker, came out in 2014. Kill the Spider is all about how to beat habits and behaviors that are holding you back from your true potential. And then Enter Wild is really my story on how I overcame my anxiety and depression and my mental health struggles. That came out in 2020.
Carlos Whitaker, thank you so much for doing this, man. You are you're an inspiration to us all. And I love your energy and just how positive you are. And I hope that nothing in this world can take that from you, man.
Thank you so much, brother.
This episode of the podcast is brought to you by my good friend, William Wilson of the Hammonds Group. Now, if you're looking to buy or sell in the state of Tennessee, call my guy, William Wilson. And this is how you know he's really loved by his clients. He's had a billboard up in the Gulch in the 12 South area for a long time now, and nobody has vandalized it. So if that doesn't tell you how good his service is, I don't know what is. Because as we all know, if he was bad at his job, somebody would have done something. They would have painted male genitalia. They would have put an F-bomb up there. They would have done something, but they haven't. And that's how you know all his clients have been satisfied. So call William Wilson today if you're looking to buy yourself in the state of Tennessee. 615-216-4809. That's 615-216-4809. And if you happen to see his billboard up, just look at it and just be in awe of the fact that there is no vandalism on his billboard whatsoever. That's how you know a realtor is really good. So call William today, 615-216-4809. I want to say thank you once again to my guest, Carlos Whitaker. Super dope individual. Make sure you're following him on Instagram at Los Wit, LOSWHIT. Make sure you follow me as well at DoloWhite101, DoloWhite 101. That's good for Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Clubhouse, everything. Definitely want to say thank you if you've subscribed or followed this podcast. If you're on Apple, maybe write a review. Maybe make it a positive one. Maybe give me 5 stars. I'm just making suggestions. It would help me out a lot. Brand new episode out next week. Big guest next week, too. Justin Baldoni will join me. That's crazy I was able to book him, but I did, and I'm looking forward to that episode. Definitely stay tapped in for that. Back next week. I'm out.